This Israel report is brought to you by the Blue Agency. Your Israel property is in good hands. Owning properties in Israel can be a great investment, but challenging to manage if you are based abroad. The Blue Agency will manage every aspect of your property, finding and vetting tenants, maintaining your property and getting it rental ready, negotiating contracts and collecting rentals, reporting back to you regularly. The Blue Agency has built a reputation for trust and confidentiality over 20 years. The Blue Agency, your Israel property is in good hands. Contact us at www.theblueagency.com.
The Israel Report for the latest news and insights with Anthony Reich.
Anthony Reich, Boker Tov, good morning. Shavua Tov, hope you're well.
Boker Tov, Shavua Tov, what a weekend we've had. My goodness me, a lot going on. I mean, first of all, we need to acknowledge the deaths of a number of IDF soldiers, starting with the tank that was fired upon, and unfortunately four soldiers lost their life, including a brigade commander who was there. And I think that it's important just to recognize the fact that we've lost a number of senior military officers during the course of this conflict, and it kind of represents the Israeli army down to a T, because the word that is usually used to describe the style that officers in the IDF go out to battle with is the word acharai. Acharai means behind me, but it also means follow me, follow me. That is the way in which leadership works in the IDF. We're not sending young, inexperienced soldiers into battle and watching from a distance. The commanders, including brigade commanders with the rank of lieutenant colonel, are in the weeds, are leading soldiers, acharai, them following behind him as he goes in to front up. And unfortunately, in the process, we lose senior officers, and it's not because they are targeted specifically by our enemies, but because they just happen to be in the battlefield along with the younger soldiers, along with the medium ranks as well. So in the process, unfortunately, a tank crew was lost. We've also lost a number of other soldiers from the Maglan Brigade, who were dealing in southern Lebanon. So it's been a very, very dark and sad weekend for all of us with the loss of those lives in southern Lebanon. And then just another interesting story, which comes out of the UAE. And the story says that the former head of the Shin Bet of the Israeli security agency, Ronen Bar, he was apparently traveling in the UAE. He'd gone to some sort of a specialized security conference. He happened to be along there with his wife as well, when all of a sudden, certain security concerns were raised for his life, and he was whisked out of the UAE at double quick speed. Apparently, a special flight put on to get him out of there as quickly as possible. Wow. Nothing more is being said about exactly what went on and what the information was that led to this very, very dramatic evacuation procedure. But some exceptional security alert was received, which raised concerns about his security and that of his wife, who was traveling with him. So just, you know, a UAE, a country with whom we have full diplomatic relations, peace agreements have been signed, a country that Israel has been protecting with the deployment of the Iron Dome there, and one of our former security agency people apparently not safe to be there and had to be whisked out very quickly. So it just shows the world in which we live in right now.
That is for sure. The IDF succeeded in taking over a massive Hezbollah command center and a weapons tunnel in southern Lebanon. This looked unbelievable to me. What do we know about this?
Well, there are quite a few things that we know. First of all, this is a tunnel that was discovered in the area of Majd al-Zun, which is about 10 kilometers into southern Lebanon from the Israeli border. Not very far into Lebanon at all. 10 kilometers is very, very much on, right on Israel's border. And we understand that the tunnel was measured to be around 200 meters long and about 25 meters deep. Four firing shafts were found, which were used to launch rockets towards Israel. But even more than that, they found terrorist infrastructure, ammunition, drones, anti-tank missiles, a lookout position, and of course, people were found in that tunnel who were finally eliminated. They were very, very patiently dealt with, so there was no rush to go in because they'd been trapped in that tunnel. And all of this was going on sort of late last week when Israel was being called upon to evacuate from southern Lebanon to stop the activity, to somehow enter into the ceasefire that the Americans were negotiating with the Iranians on our behalf. And the IDF, as one could fully understand, had decided that they were not going to stop at this particular juncture, particularly given that they discovered this very, very important facility, terror infrastructure, call it what you wish. It's really a massive Hezbollah command center, essentially 10 kilometers from the Israeli border. It reminded me a little of All Eyes on Rafah when there were attempts to try to prevent Israel from launching its military operation into Rafah. And, you know, the watchword went out, all eyes on Rafah, in order to try somehow to shame Israel into not carrying out that military operation. And ultimately, we discovered that there were military reasons rather than humanitarian reasons for the all eyes on Rafah, because the word had got out saying if Israel succeeds in getting hold of Rafah, they will discover many things that that Hamas at the time would prefer Israel not to have got hold of, in terms especially in terror infrastructure and other things that Hamas were trying to hide in the Rafah area. And they'd managed to then generate this whole social media campaign of all eyes on Rafah to somehow try to prevent Israel from going there. Ultimately, when Israel insisted upon launching the operation, we all understood exactly what lay behind the attempt to prevent it. And there's a similar sort of feeling here, where even from the US administration, there was some pressure to prevent Israel from continuing to launch its military operation. And now we discover why, because this was an extremely sensitive area, some sort of a Hezbollah command control center, which you know, was very, very important for Hezbollah to try to retain in the days following this particular operation, whenever that happens. So the operation in Lebanon continues. Nothing really stopped. I mean, there might have been a few hours of silence over the weekend, but essentially when the ceasefire calls went out late on Thursday and on Friday, they've essentially been ignored, both by the IDF and to be fair, also by Hezbollah, who continued to fire and attack not only towards Israeli soldiers within southern Lebanon, but indeed also towards the northern border of Israel. And so the IDF has continued its operation. And we can talk a little bit about what that means in terms of how it ties in to the discussions that the Americans have been having with Iran. But, you know, what we're seeing here is Iran effectively taking a position on behalf of Hezbollah. Why are they taking a position? Well, because Hezbollah are on the verge of being severely decimated in southern Lebanon, and without Iran using the US administration to put pressure on Israel to stop, that risks being a major, major blow to Hezbollah. And the only way that Hezbollah seemed to be able to prevent that for now is to use the Iranian sponsors, to use the administration in the United States to stop Israel. And I think Israel is determined to say, that's not going to happen right now. We're on the verge of something which could be significant moving forward, and now seems exactly the wrong time to stop.
What's so fascinating about this is that there's no longer a pretense that Hezbollah is Iran.
No, there's no shame anymore.
There's no distance.
There's no attempt to conceal that direct link. I mean, you know, we've spoken for so many years about the route that's being used to transport ammunition, arms and ammunition through Jordan and through Syria to ultimately get to Lebanon, the number of times that Israeli aircraft have been used to attack those routes and to attack the transport used to get the arms and ammunition, and it's all been very concealed in smoke and mirrors. No, I agree with you that now it's very much out in the open. And just one more comment about this particular Hezbollah stronghold that was found in southern Lebanon. The IDF have come out saying that it would not have been possible to eliminate this from the air, that somehow there was something preventing air attacks from getting to the heart of this particular stronghold, and therefore it required troops on the ground in order to achieve that. And that's why for so many years they've been able to continue to build this. I'm not exactly sure how they managed to prevent Israeli aircraft from attacking it and from it being open to risk of destruction by our Air Force, which has got incredible capability. But somehow this really needed feet on the ground. And that's why at the moment, while we have the feet on the ground, it's important to take advantage of destroying exactly infrastructure like that.
Let's talk about Switzerland and the very, very strange events of that meeting. It started off with, it seemed as though Iran was in a huff. They left, then they came back, very, very dramatic, very, very high school. But either way, what do we know about how the negotiations went between the United States and Iran?
Goodness me, I don't even know where to start, Howard, because this is just the strangest set of events that I can recall witnessing. Because J.D. Vance, who's the U.S. vice president, I mean, it's very difficult to get a lot more senior than that. You've only got one more person who's more senior than him in terms of, you know, putting their, showing how important this particular meeting is. And similarly, the Iranians sent a very high-level delegation as well, involving their foreign minister. So this was a very, very senior delegation all coming to Lucerne in Switzerland in order to ostensibly sign the agreement. Let's not forget that we were told that the agreement would be signed on Friday. President Trump very ceremoniously signed the Memorandum of Understanding when he was at that meeting in France, the G7 meeting. But that wasn't the agreement. That was a memorandum of understanding, which was designed to lead to the signing of the agreement. And the meeting in Lucerne in Switzerland was billed as the signing of the agreement. Well, that didn't happen. And that's not likely to happen anytime soon. We now understand that there's the 60-day process, which was originally supposed to have been post the signing of the agreement, but in order to negotiate the last few bits that the agreement contemplates, which says there will be a 60-day process once the agreement is signed in order to take care of enriched uranium and in order to take care of a number of other issues that were not finalized in the agreement. And then we see the two senior delegations on their way to Switzerland, I'm sorry, to meet each other and to ostensibly sign the agreement. And it comes with lots and lots of social media stuff. My goodness me. I mean, President Trump really outdid himself over this weekend on what he was sending out on Truth Social. Honestly, I mean, I think that even great supporters of President Trump were kind of tearing their hair out to see the kind of things that he was sending out on social media, really. I mean, to say they were non-diplomatic would be like an understatement of reality. I mean, it was just crazy. We will blow their heads off, you know, the language of that sort of nature. Lots and lots of threats against the Iranians. The Iranians decided that they're not opening the Straits of Hormuz, which was supposed to have been even a pretext to the agreement that was agreed upon even pre the agreement, and yet that was all shut down. So the meeting in Switzerland and the trip that was made by these senior delegations, even during the time of their travel to Switzerland, was really fraught. And I thought to myself, I don't understand how two delegations could actually even face up to each other against the backdrop of this very, very severe and significant language that was going on. I mean, I just had no idea how this was going to pan out. And yet, a relatively positive statement has been issued by the mediators to say, oh, it was in very good atmosphere, the meeting, and that there will be working groups that will work towards getting to a final agreement. I think that this is a disaster. It's an absolute and unadulterated failure and disaster. And it does lead me to wonder what the plan is, if indeed there is a plan, what this plan is, and whether the plan is just to simply sneak over the midterm elections, which will be in November, the beginning of November. We've got 4 months until the midterm elections. And in that those 4 months, anything could happen. So, I mean, there is this theory that has been circulating, which says President Trump is just simply trying to navigate over the midterm elections in order to satisfy the Republicans and in order to satisfy the American electorate. But as soon as that is over, he will be back to war with Iran. It's hard for me to see the war restarting again, although having said that, we did see the war restart after last year in June, and all of a sudden then it be restarted again earlier this year. So we can't entirely rule that out. But let's also remember that we have an Israeli election between now and the US midterms. So it's not only about the midterm election, and to be fair, the actions that President Trump has taken now to try and sort of put a dampener on things to, I suppose, potentially try and get over the midterms safely has been very damaging to Prime Minister Netanyahu and his prospects of being re-elected in our election, which was due to take place. I think now a date has been set or October for our election. So this weekend to me, I mean, even though it's been, there's been a real attempt to present it in the most positive of lights in terms of the statement that was issued by the mediators, but it seems to me to be a disaster. I don't know how you guys see it, but it just seems to be a mess that, you know, completely out of control. There seemed to be absolutely no management of this process. It just seemed to be everybody shooting from the hip. Absolutely no plan at all. Everybody just responding to everybody else. And of course, social media makes it so easy, and not only so easy, but essential, because as Giorgia Meloni discovered, the Prime Minister of Italy, she couldn't remain silent when President Trump started to snipe at her over social media. I mean, sometimes the watchword is, if you have nothing proper to say, rather don't say it. Well, that's kind of been thrown completely out of the window. Nowadays, when you have very little to say, apparently social media is exactly your place to say it, right?
Absolutely. I don't know. It's unfathomable. Maybe it's not about the midterms. Maybe it's about finding an alternative to the Strait of Hormuz, because once that is sorted, if it's possible, I'm not even sure that it is, but if that is sorted, maybe then everything changes. But in the meantime, we watch and we wonder. Anthony Reich, thank you. As always, we'll chat to you tomorrow morning. It is 8:01. I'm Howard Feldman. Good morning.
That Israel Report was brought to you by the Blue Agency. Your Israel property is in good hands. Owning properties in Israel can be a great investment, but challenging to manage if you are based abroad. The Blue Agency will manage every aspect of your property, finding and vetting tenants, maintaining your property and getting it rental ready, negotiating contracts and collecting rentals, reporting back to you regularly. The Blue Agency has built a reputation for trust and confidentiality over 20 years. The Blue Agency, your Israel property is in good hands. Contact us at www.theblueagency.com.